After going to three graduate schools, including Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, Jerry Falwell School,
Farwell, you went to his college, Christian College.
we got married at Thomas Road Baptist Church, Jerry Falwell's church.
Jerry, the famous Jerry Farwell, have you ever met him?
Oh, many times he used to take me with him on his private plane to fly to different meetings.
Oh, so you're good friends with Jerry Farwell.
He passed away about 10 years ago.
Yeah. His son took over, correct?
His son was, until recently.
I've always thought if more good people had concealed carry permits, then we could end those Muslims.
I've seen one of your talks before. You give an example of how you were feeling, and this is how many people feel like, oh, if you go over there, they're going to cut your head off. Can you share that with us?
Oh, yeah. I was scared to death when I stepped off the plane here. I came from a background in Annapolis, Maryland. I was on the city council there, was the head of the Democratic Party. When I got on the plane to come here, some students from the Naval Academy, close friends, were coming to me and saying, "Don't go, don't go." They were showing me videos of people being decapitated. It was horrible. People being kidnapped. And here I am stepping off the plane into what they told me would be harm's way. When I arrived here, it was a totally different story. When I'd go to the supermarket, people would come up to me and they'd say, "Where are you from?" At first, I would hesitate, but eventually I would say, "I'm from the United States." And then people would begin to, they would hug me and they would say, "Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome." I wasn't expecting this. It was the hugs and the love of Muslims in Saudi Arabia that brought me, completed my trip to Islam.
That's quite a different picture from what the media portrays of Islam and Muslims.
Yeah, well, the media is distorted and uneducated in many cases. I think it's getting better, but we have to help change the media. For every negative, or 1% of every religious group, it doesn't matter whether they are Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, all religious groups, 1 or 2% are crazy. They do horrible things. They're in it for themselves. They want to make the evening news. So the best way to make the evening news is to kill somebody and make headlines. We've seen that in the last month in the United States. But for every evil act, we have to do 100 good acts to overcome it. And this is our aim with Muslim Voice for Peace and Reconciliation, an organization that Asa Alhaj Hussein and I started here in Jeddah, and it's based in Washington, D.C.
MashaAllah. Tell us
MashaAllah, tell
now,
us.
you went to John Jones. This is a Christian high school. And then from
Bob
there,
Jones.
Bob Jones, I'm
Bob
sorry.
Jones Academy, Fundamentalist Christian High School in Greenville, South Carolina. You see, my mom raised me in the Baptist church. Bob Jones is predominantly Baptist, but my mother would take me to church on Sunday, and she would, at the end of the church service, she would take me to the church library. And there were all kinds of children's books. And she'd let me pick one out. And the one that I got over and over again was called The God of Abraham. And it had beautiful color pictures of camels and desert. And she would take me home, she'd put me in her lap, and she would open the book and start reading to me. And she would tell me the story of Abraham. She'd say, "Sammy, Sammy, look into my eyes. When you're older, you have to pray to the God of Abraham, or Abraham, excuse me, Abraham, there's only one God." And that stayed with me all my life. I went to Christian Academy, and I got to the academy. Of course, they were teaching Trinity. And I asked my Bible instructor, I said, "I'm confused about Trinity. I don't know how to rationalize this, think about it." And he would tell me, well, it's sort of like an egg. The egg has a shell. It's an egg yellow, egg white. It's one egg. And I said, but you mean God is like an egg? Oh, no, no. God's not like an egg. So I went to university or Christian college, Shelton College. I asked my theology teacher, I said, explain Trinity to me. And he said, well, he had a banana on his desk. He peeled the banana and inside he squeezed the yellow part of the banana and it came apart in three parts. He said, you see, it's three parts, but it's one banana. I said, you mean it's God is like a banana? No, no, I'm just trying to explain Trinity to you. Finally, I got to first graduate school I went to, Faith Theological Seminary, also Fundamentalist Presbyterian Seminary. And I asked the theology teacher there, please explain the Trinity to me. And he said, can't explain. We can't explain it. It's a mystery. And then so it was always a question in my mind. And I kept hearing the words of my mother, believe in the God of Abraham, there's only one God. He's not three parts. And so that's been me until I arrived in Saudi Arabia. And I didn't convert to Islam. I've been a Muslim all my life. And I discovered it when I arrived here.
Yeah, many people don't know when you say the word Muslim, that simply translates into one who has submitted his or her will to the one, as you keep repeating, to the one and only true creator of the heavens and earth, the same God that Jesus worshiped, Moses, and the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon them all. You were actually on your way is this correct, Samuel? As Pastor Samuel at that time, going to help with something with the Quran?
Well, it's a longer story than that. Because after graduating from Faith Hill, after going to three graduate schools, including Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, Jerry Falwell School, and then on to California Graduate School of Theology.
Wait, the last one you mentioned, Jerry Falwell, you went to his college, Christian College, from the...
I went to the graduate school.
The graduate school.
Liberty Baptist.
That's the seminary, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you went there. Wow.
And then I went on. My wife and we got married at Thomas Road Baptist Church, Jerry Falwell's church. My wife is from Czechoslovakia. She immigrated to the U.S. We were married at Dr. Falwell's church.
Have you ever met him, the famous Jerry Falwell? Have you ever met him?
Oh, many times. He used to take me with him on his private plane to fly to different meetings.
Oh, so you're good friends with Jerry Falwell. Wait, you have the senior?
He's no longer living. He passed away about 10 years ago.
Yeah. His son took over, correct?
His son was, until recently.
I've always thought if more good people had concealed carry permits, then we could end those Muslims before they walk in and kill us.
Jerry Falwell Jr. may be out as president and chancellor of Liberty University after reports he submitted his resignation letter today. The son of one of the most influential TV evangelists of all time.
Yeah.
President of Liberty Baptist Schools.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wasn't he somewhat of a, he was advisor to many of the presidents or one of the senior?
To many of the conservative presidents. He was the head of Moral Majority. His son sort of did that in. But Dr. Falwell had a big, and he had a big, wide influence in the United States. Moral Majority, many other organizations. It influenced me. I was at a meeting that he was at in Washington, D.C. I see for 25 years, I lobbied the U.S. Congress on human rights.
25 years, wow.
I did that. I worked with Canadian and British parliaments. I was the head of Christian Solidarity International, and during that time in Washington, D.C., I would organize congressmen to travel with me abroad to meet with foreign heads of state to intervene on behalf of Christian prisoners of conscience, Jews, as well as Muslims, in Romania, for instance. And we would meet with Ceausescu family, we would give them a list of prisoners, and we do everything within our ability to get these prisoners released. We got more than 150 released at one time by using pressure on the Romanian government. But we did this in the Soviet Union, throughout South America, Nepal, China. Members of parliament and members of Congress would travel with me. After I sort of retired from the human rights work, I moved to Annapolis, Maryland, where I became the head of the Democratic Party for Annapolis, and eventually was elected to the city council, eventually ran for mayor of Annapolis, because I thought, you know, if I can be mayor of Annapolis, now my personal hubris is taking over. I'm such a great man. You know, politicians, when they go door to door, they pass out literature and they write that literature. And the literature says, you can't live without Sam Shropshire. I'm the best. And I thought if I could be mayor of Annapolis, I could be governor of Maryland. But, you know, I read later in the Quran, man plots. But God, Allah, is a better plotter. And he does amazing things. When I was running for mayor of Annapolis, I lost that race. If you had told me then, no, Sam, you're gonna lose. You're going to be living in a mosque as a Muslim in Saudi Arabia.
You would have never have guessed that, huh?
I would have said you're insane.
From flying in the private jet with Jerry Falwell to were you guys going to different conferences to get, what were you doing again
different with meetings, different speaking engagements he had in Philadelphia in different places.
So with speaking engagements with Jerry Falwell in the private jet to now being in the living next to the. In the mosque, you would have never guessed that in 1,000 years.
Yeah. And after I came here too, I was here for about 5 years. And I was very interested. I was involved in environmentalism in Annapolis, Maryland, working on cleaning up the Chesapeake Bay. But after being here for a few years, I met Dr. Mohammed Al-Haj Hussein, who's an environmentalist here in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And he invited me to his home for dinner. And he explained to me he had 6 sons. 5 of them were sitting at the table. And I said, Mashallah, Dr. Muhammad. Wow, this is incredible. No daughters, just sons. And I explained to him, I have one child only. I have a daughter. Her name is Jenna. I love her so much. But I've never had a son. I've always wanted a son. And I was joking. I said, give me one of yours. And he was joking too. He said, take Jesus, Asa. So Asa and I became very close friends. He was entering university, King Abdulaziz University, studying Islamic studies. He had an American passport, a Saudi passport. He spoke fluent Arabic and English. He went with me he travels with me everywhere. We've been in over 50 countries together, talking with Christians and Jews and peoples of other faiths about Islam and what I've experienced here in the Mecca region. So I thank God. I mean, if you'd told me 10 years ago, living in a mosque, a Muslim, with a son named Jesus.
Amazing. Do you remember, have you ever met him? Jimmy, it comes to mind since you mentioned some of these people such as Jerry Falwell. How about Jimmy Swaggart? Do you remember him? Did you ever meet him or other people like
I never met Jimmy Swagger. No, I.
You remember
saw him?
Him
on TV. And saw him in TV a lot. And
did you ever watch?
I'm at the Dot Center in South Africa. I'm there. Been down there three times speaking, and of course, Ahmed Didat, he debated Falwell.
So tell us, what was your father like?
I never really knew him. My father was a pilot. He died as a result of a plane crash 3 months after I was born. But he's the one that named me Samuel, after Prophet Samuel. And he would even take me as my mother. They were Baptist, and my mother moved back to North Georgia, her home area, about when I was 3 years old. She took my two brothers and sister with her. We all moved to North Georgia, a little town called Jefferson. And there we were attending First Baptist Church of Jefferson.
Now, since you accepted Islam, and I really like to define these words, because I think if many people just knew a lot of the words that we use, the definitions, they would even gravitate more toward. They see the commonalities. Like Islam just simply means, you know, to acquire peace by submitting yourself, you know, to the Creator, to submit to God's will, to do God's will, not your desires, pretty much. So now, how do Christians? What kind of relationship do you have now when people learn? You know, when the Jerry Falwells, did he get the news back then? Was he still alive when you took your Shahada, when you accepted Islam? What was his reaction, or other people like that? Some of these big names, small names, you know, the Christian community. How do they react?
I can tell you, a lot of my Bob Jones friends, many of them are still in touch with me. They're watching me. I meet with other Christian friends, and they're telling me, you have to come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus, Sam. And I tell them, brother, I never left Jesus. I love Jesus today. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ of God. Jesus, the one who did many miracles, who was born of the Virgin Mary. I love Jesus, who ascended into heaven and who's going to come back. I love him more today as a Muslim than I ever loved him as a Christian. And they have a hard time understanding that, because many of them don't even know that Muslims believe in Jesus, or that they believe that he's one of the greatest prophets that ever lived.
That's amazing. I mean, now when you're talking to many Christians and other people of other faiths, and then you break down the six articles of faith, and are you amazed that almost all of them agree with it? It's just like they're agreeing with everything Islam, the whole message of Islam. But now there's so much distortion out there. There's so many misconceptions that are blocking. It's like Islam is this beautiful treasure, and Shaitan has done such a good job to cover it with all this muck and dirt. People have to dig deep, you know what I mean, and really test your sincerity. But give us that example when you're talking to Christians and others, and you start to go over the articles of faith, how almost 100% they agree with the main message of Islam.
We meet with Jewish and Christian groups around the world. I try to organize as many as I can. We've had up to 100 in one meeting, and we project behind us on the wall the six pillars of Islam. And I ask them, I'm facing them, I said, how many of you here today, Jews and Christians, how many of you believe that there's only one God? And everybody raises their hand. I don't go into detail. We come back later through question and answer. How many of you believe in angels? Everybody raises their hand. How many of you believe in holy books? Let's say Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Everybody raises their hand. Or the Jews only believe in the Old Testament. But how many of you believe in prophets, messengers God sent to earth? He sent them with a message for his people, to call people to faith. And everybody raises their hand. I said, amazing. How many of you here today believe that there's going to be a great judgment day? It's coming. And we're all going to stand before God. And he's going to judge us for all the good things and the bad things we've done in this life. And everybody raises their hand. And I say, how many of you believe in predestination, or that God has predestined certain things in your life, in my life, in our lives, and these are going to happen? Everybody raises their hand. Amazing. I say, you know, these are the six pillars of faith in Islam. And they're shocked. That's Islam? Yes, that's Islam. And then I say, hey, Jesus. Asa, my assistant, he's sitting in the audience. I said, Jesus, this is my assistant. Could you come, please? And he comes and stands beside me. And he's got on a shirt that says Muslim Voice for Peace and Reconciliation. And I can see them, they're looking at each other, still in shock and dismay. Wait, his name is Jesus. They're whispering to each other. He's a Muslim? And I say, yes. Muslims love Jesus so much that many of them name their kids Jesus. So this is incredible. And then Asa speaks to them. I'm very grateful that Allah is permitting us to present in a very simple way Islam to people who don't understand and who have misperceptions.
When you say this word Allah, many Christians, they don't understand that in the Semitic languages, in the Arabic language, Christians who are Arabic speaking, they also use the word Allah. I mean, are they just bewildered by that when you also explain that to them? That this is not a different God?
No, we explain it to them. Syrian Christians, Christians in Palestine, they use the word Allah to refer to God. And this has been going on for centuries. So it's no secret, it's nothing new. This is the way Muslims very often refer to God as Allah.
Yes. Tell us, you were so passionate about getting the Bible to people that you actually got, is it true, got arrested in Poland and Russian for trying to smuggle Bibles into there? How did that work out?
Yeah, I've been living on the edge of life ever since I was in high school. You know, I've had five guns pointed at me in the United States. I've been just distributing gospel tracts on the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina, with other students from Bob Jones. Go back to the car, some guy pulls a gun on us. I've traveled in many different parts of the world where people tell me don't go there. Then I make that perks up my interest, and I want to know why I shouldn't go. So I end up going, and it's incredible. We meet such interesting people, but I also have faced adversity. You know, before I understood the Quran and fully realized that I didn't fully understand many of the things that were in the Bible, because the Bible, let's face it, has, even my college and seminary professors would tell me there are mistakes in the Bible. So I was really believed in the Bible. Muslims should believe in the Bible and in its original manuscripts. So I wanted to take it to foreign lands. I would smuggle thousands of Bibles into Czechoslovakia. Then I would get as many as I could across the border into the Soviet Union. And that's where I was arrested when I was 21 in the Ukrainian part of the Soviet Union. The Soviets released me a few days later, told me not to come back, but I got arrested in Poland one month later for smuggling Bibles there. I just keep on going, but God is good. Now we're smuggling Qurans. We're smuggling Qurans. We don't even have to smuggle them. We take them everywhere we go. I came here to work on a Quran project. And you asked me the question earlier. They invited me here as a Christian, as someone who had a had studied in graduate school to work on this Q project, Quran project. It was easy to read, modern American interpretation of the Quran, of the final testament of God. And they asked me just to read it. I was brought here to read, just read, and to write down questions. So every night I'm reading Quran in modern English. They want me to edit the English. So I would write down questions. What do you mean by this? What does this mean? I did this for 6 months, and then my life was changed. My life was changed by reading Quran. That's when I began to realize I'm Muslim, not Christian. After being here for 6 months, I heard azan, Maghrib time. I ran down the street to Masjid Taqwa, and I stood knocking on the door. People were opening the door and going in, but I didn't know what to do. I wasn't invited. I was a Christian. I know Christians can't go to Mecca or Medina. Maybe I shouldn't go in the mosque. It would be people. So after the prayer time was over, people were coming out after Maghrib. I'm still standing knocking on the door. And finally, Shafiq Zubir comes to the door. He's the muadhin. And he says, "May I help you?" And I said, "Yes, my name is Samuel Shropshire. I'm a Christian pastor from the United States." He said, "Okay, if I come inside the mosque." And he reached out and hugged me. And he said, "Alan Wasalan." I walked into the mosque and looked around. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to come back." And then every day for 3 days, every prayer, call to prayer for 3 days, I would run down to the mosque. And I would go in and I would sit in the back because I didn't understand what was going on. And after 3 days, I felt God's presence so powerful at Masjid Taqwa that I said to Shafiq, the muadhin, I said, "Can you teach me to pray like a Muslim?" And he said, "Of course." He taught me Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Ar-Rahman. You know, it reminded me of a Christian hymn we used to sing in our church.
Can you finish? You're beautifully reciting. So many Christians and people out there, I mean, they've never got to hear the Quran. Can you go ahead and finish that? You were actually reciting what we recite 17 times a day in prayer, the opening, the Al-Fatiha.
Alhamdulillah. Where was I?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Ar-Rahman Ir-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyyaka Na'budu Iyyaka Nasta'in Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqim Siratal Ladina An'amta Alayhim Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Wala Dallin. I mean, needless to say, my life was changed. I said to Shafiq, "What should I do now?" He got me in touch with Dr. Sadiq Malki, who took me to the Islamic Education Foundation down the road, and I said Shahada. And then Dr. Sadiq put me in his car, and he drove me about 35 minutes over to Mecca. And I'm looking at the Haram, at the Grand Mosque. We go inside. And he said, "I want to see the Kaaba, please." And he took me through these thousands of people, through a crowd. And there it was in front of me, the Kaaba. We didn't have time to stay long. There was someone else with us, and he needed to get back to Jeddah. But I got to see it. And I realized that Kaaba was refurbished, rebuilt by Abraham and Ishmael. And then I hear the words of my mother again. "Sami, Sami, you have to pray to the God of Israel, the God of Abraham. There's only one God." I fell on my face crying there at the Kaaba. My life, my faith completed there. I thank God for a Christian mother. She didn't know anything about Islam. She never heard of Prophet Muhammad, probably. She never heard of Islam, but she taught me to be a Muslim. And I'm sure that there are millions and millions of young people, children, who were taught in churches at ages of 3 and 4 years old in Sunday school that there's only one God and that they need to pray to the God of Abraham. We need to reach people today through social media. We try through our website. We try through speaking all over the world. Jason, I've traveled to 50 different countries. One of the most interesting is Cuba, if we have time to talk about it. But hundreds of people, thousands coming to Islam, including hundreds of Jews, have said Shahada in Israel during the last 3 years.
Brother Samuel, tell us, it reminds me, you kept saying, and we'll close off with this, you kept reiterating how your mother, she was leaving you with the simple instructions to worship just one God. And that's the main message of Islam, to worship the creator, not the creation. In the Quran, there is a verse that talks about Abraham, who your mother kept saying, worship the God of Abraham, where Allah, God Almighty, is saying in the Quran that Abraham was neither a Jew or a Christian, but he was a monotheist, one who worshiped God Almighty alone without partners. You talked about the Trinity, how that didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to a lot of people. And what advice would you give for our Christian friends and neighbors who are out there and anybody, you know, the atheist, you know, the person who just got this distorted image of Islam, but he's listening to you who had also the distorted image. You thought, okay, if I go over there to Saudi, they're going to chop my heads off. That's what people are telling you. Now you're living in a mosque. You took your Shahada. You went over there as a pastor. And now the whole world, you never even would dream of something like this. What advice would you have for them? They're searching for the purpose of life. They're confused, you know. They want to know. They tune into the Dean Show. What do you got to tell them?
I'd say first, Abraham was a friend of God. That's what he's called in the Old Testament of the Bible. In the New Testament, he's referred to as a friend of God. And in the Quran, he's called a friend of God. And if you want to be a friend of God, study the life of Prophet Abraham. Wow. You'll come to learn a lot. Go back to your childhood if you're a Christian or if you're Jewish and realize what you were taught as a child. Believe in the God of Abraham. Believe in the God of the prophets, all the prophets, including the God of Jesus. Believe in the God of Noah and Musa. All of these prophets that we learned about when we were children, we studied their stories. We know what the work that they did. I live here next to the Red Sea. And I go down there sometimes and I take a look across towards Egypt, northeast, northwest towards Egypt. I'm looking. And I'm trying to imagine Musa or Moses coming to the Red Sea and parting the waters. Talking about the blockage of the Suez Canal the other day, can you imagine parting the waters where no ships can get through? God has done wondrous things. And he's taught us wondrous stories which can bring us closer to him. I'm very grateful to be a Muslim. I'm very grateful to be able to work with ASA and as we're co-founders of Muslim Voice for Peace and Reconciliation. I'm so grateful to God that he can use someone like me. My life was not clean when I came to Saudi Arabia. I was a miserable sinner. You know, I was a politician. A lot of politicians drink. I never had alcohol in my life until I started working. I went to Russia in 1991. I founded a nonprofit called Project Friendship to help young Russian entrepreneurs who were coming out of communism to start their own businesses, to help them move away from socialism to a free market economy. I learned a lot. The many young people started businesses. In Russia, the program wasn't too successful because mafia was everywhere. And 10 people that we trained in business were killed by mafia. So we moved the program to Lithuania, Latvia, Slovakia, Czech Republic, Hungary, and Poland. And it became a great success. And we'd bring young entrepreneurs to the United States to work in businesses similar to what they wanted to start.
For the okay. Christians, Jews, people who have a distorted view of Islam, but they like what you're having to say.
Yeah. And then I took off on Russia. So let's start it again. Jews and Christians need to go back to their childhoods. They need to study the life of Prophet Muhammad. Jews believe in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. Muslims believe in it too, by the way, in its original manuscripts, if we could get them. Christians believe in the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Christians still haven't decided how many books are in the Bible. Orthodox say a certain number. Catholics say a certain number. Christians say a certain number. None, they don't agree. All of them are a few books off. Someday, maybe they'll decide. They'll understand what is right. And then, so we got Old Testament, New Testament. I'm asking people to consider the final testament of God that was came down through the prophet to the prophet Muhammad through Jibril. It says in the Bible, Jibril also brought down, he's, most Muslims consider him to be the Holy Spirit. He brought down and inspired different writers in the Old Testament and New Testament to write. It's in the book of Daniel. All they have to do is look. Jibril or Gabriel. Just go back to your childhood. Study God and listen to what you were taught. The God of Abraham, there's only one God. The words of my mother can be your words today. Listen, think, and then take a close look at Islam and get a chance. Grab a Quran, read through it. If you have questions, you can contact us here at Muslim Voice for Peace and Reconciliation, mvpr.org. We'll be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you so much. Have you, just one last question. I was thinking of some of my good friends, one who's down in Medina, and he has a similar story. Have you ever met Dr. Lawrence Brown?
We talk on the phone.
Oh, you, so you know my, that, he's a, with, that's my close friend, yeah. One of my good friends.
Yeah, I've met it with him a couple of times in Medina.
Uh-huh.
And he helped support me here. I'm very grateful to God for Lawrence. A dear brother, a dear friend.
Dr. Lawrence Brown. Alhamdulillah. And did you ever get to meet a doctor of divinity, may Allah grant him Jannah, Dr. Gerald Dirks? He studied in Harvard. He was also ordained deacon, and he ended up accepting Islam, but he passed away recently. I don't know if you got a chance to ever meet him. Dr. Gerald Dirks, no?
No, I didn't get to meet him.
Okay. Well, thank
but
you.
But I will. I will meet him someday.
Inshallah, in Jannah. May we all get to our final destination, inshallah. That's where the GPS should be set to, destination Jannah. Thank you so much. It was an honor to have you on the Deen Show. Thank you, Sheikh.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for spreading the word. I watch the Deen Show often. And I thank God for what you're doing. I hope we can meet.
Inshallah. In person.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
Ameen.
God bless you. And I pray that people will be blessed through this emotional... I wish I weren't so emotional, but these profound changes in my life.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Shay. It was really nice talking with you. May Allah bless you. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
God bless you.